It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kerry Kaufman. Wisconsin's prison population is growing, and UW-Madison's medical school is responding. This fall, they are starting a new course to teach future doctors about patients they are likely to come in contact with, either in prison or out in the community after release. Shemaine Mills reports.
Madison doctor Joan Addington White still remembers trying to give a physical to a man in a psychiatric ward decades ago. At the time, she was a young medical student working at Michael Reese Hospital in Chicago. In retelling the encounter to a group this spring, she recalls being frustrated. She couldn't hear the man's heartbeat through a thick straitjacket.
So I just said, this is crazy. I can't do this.
She tells the medical students she didn't complete the physical, but before leaving, she looked at the man's face.
And I realized he was so much more scared than I was. So all I could do is I put my hand on his chest and I said, it's going to be okay.
Medical schools can't prepare students for every real-life situation, but some courses are changing to recognize factors that can affect health care, like a patient's education, culture, finances, and where they live. For more than 23,000 people in Wisconsin, home is behind bars.
We know they have more health care problems than the general population. We know that diseases that they have are not going to necessarily stay with them because germs don't respect the boundaries of our legal system.
That's Dr. Robert Stryker. As an infectious disease specialist with UW Medical School, he helps the Department of Corrections treat conditions like hepatitis C and HIV. He's also behind the new course to teach med students, nurses, and pharmacists about providing care for those in a correctional setting and those who've served their time. Strucker's working with the Nehemiah Community Development Corporation. It seeks to address social injustice issues affecting African Americans. In 2016, 41% of inmates were African American, while they make up less than 7% of the state's population as a whole. Karen Reese is with Nehemiah.
We put our heads together and realized that healthcare providers in the criminal justice system need to have a clear understanding of how the system works and where the good things are and where the challenges are so that they can deliver care in a more culturally responsive way.
That could mean understanding a patient who was incarcerated for decades might not know how to use an electronic device, like a smartphone. Matthew Lay is a third-year resident in internal medicine. He recalls how he was having difficulty following up on a patient who wouldn't return voicemail or emails. The man spent nearly two decades behind bars and had just completed his sentence.
He's now re-entering society in an era where we generally expect most people to be able to answer emails, respond to voicemails, have a cell phone, have an email account, and functionally use those things. And it was just kind of becoming clear to me that in the 18 years he'd been in prison, he hadn't learned how to do that.
Doctors not only have to figure out how to best communicate with patients in or out of prison, but dissuade them from habits that may be unhealthy. For Laura Morsetter, that means finding out what's sold in the prison canteen. She warns her patients against high-sodium meals like ramen noodles.
Those kinds of things are really helpful for me to know that that's what's often happening and that I can talk to people about things that seem real. It kind of helps me build a little bit of rapport.
But while doctors often try to know all they can about their patients, Morsetter draws the line at finding out their crimes.
I made it a rule that I never, ever look to try to see anything that anyone did because that changes the way I think. And I'm not there to judge anyone. I'm there to take good care of them.
The medical school is recruiting up to 20 students to take the new class this fall, which could lead to a career path many hadn't thought about, jailhouse doctor. Shemaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Joining me now to continue the discussion on health care and prisons is Dr. Robert Stryker, an associate professor of medicine and medical microbiology and immunology at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. 800-642-1234 is the number to call to join our discussions. If you have questions for Dr. Stryker, please give us a call. Dr. Stryker, welcome to the morning show on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me about your experience in providing care for those in correctional institutions.
Right. Well, I mean, I've been doing care for people both inside and outside of prison for about 20 years, and most of the care has been as a consultant to doctors and patients that are in prison or in jail. And the difference between what kind of care you can offer to someone who is in jail versus prison was completely, you know, something I never learned about and didn't really realize until patients were right in front of me. And one of the things that I've been particularly involved in is offering treatment for hepatitis C. Early on, 20 years ago, there was no good treatment for anyone with hepatitis C, but the patients outside of prison wanted to know what was coming down the pike. They heard about the side effects of the treatment that was available and frankly often said, no thanks, doc, I'll wait till next year or next 4 or 5 years until I, you know, want to try something that maybe isn't likely to work but could work. The patients that I would see that were incarcerated, you know, they were by and large eager to do whatever they could to get healthier while they're in prison, because some of them kind of knew they might not have access to health care when they got out. So that really kind of struck me and you know, made me realize that this was important to people and maybe some of the only chances we'd have to intervene.
So that would explain your interest in this program and the curriculum, because doctors and future medical professionals need to have the skill then to work with inmates, whether they're in prison or released in the community, correct?
Yeah. That's, I think, you know, the fact is that there are a lot of people who get caught up in the criminal justice system for a little bit of time, sometimes a long time. And it really complicates. I mean, healthcare is complicated, and the criminal justice system is complicated. You put the two things together, and it's really complicated.
So, talk a little bit about the curriculum. What will this curriculum entail?
Right. Well, initially, we're going to be trying to just explain to people, you know, what the county criminal justice system, jails, state prisons, federal prisons are, and what people have a right to and what, you know, maybe they don't get. And then as time goes on, we hope to bring in more sort of specialized topics. One of the huge ones, obviously, is drug addiction. This is what leads a lot of people to get into prison. And, you know, amazingly, we aren't always able to offer very much to people. Even though there's wonderful therapies for drug addiction, we can't offer them as of right now in Wisconsin to everybody that's in prison who might benefit from those therapies.
Is that related to cost or is it a policy decision?
Well, I can't speak to that exactly, but it's both cost as well, both inside and outside the prison. We don't have enough addiction medicine specialists.
Hmm.
So, you know, obviously there is cost associated in the short term, but, you know, in the long term, maybe there's a lot of cost savings. I'm not an expert in that, but I think, you know, the state needs more of this sort of care.
So how was this curriculum developed?
Well, again, it was in partnership with the Nehemiah Community Development Corporation. And in my experience as a caregiver, I know a lot of caregivers that provide care inside of prisons in different states. And we're just sort of looking at case studies of things that maybe one state does really well, one county does really well, and maybe something that could be done better. Another example, if you don't mind, is, you know, we have a lot of very old and very sick patients in prison now. Many of them don't represent much of a threat to the community, and many of them have served a lot of time. And so a big question is, well, can those people be released at lower cost to the state, because the state is paying the bill for medical care? But, you know, how can that be done in a way that's actually compassionate? It gets complicated.
Yes. So what is your long-term hope for this program? What do you want to really see happen?
Well, you know, what I think providing care to people, particularly in this setting, is challenging. And I hope both the people that are doing it right now, as well as future medical providers, recognize the challenges, find it rewarding, and are ultimately, most importantly, able to help those people, you know, not just for those people, but also to make the whole state healthier.
Well, here's a question I should have asked earlier. I'll ask it now. We're in the last minute. But how likely, how common is it for the average medical practitioner to come in contact with the incarcerated population?
Well, it's actually quite common. They're people, the inmates are people, they get sick and they get transferred to, hospitals, because the jails and the prisons, they don't have the resources, to take care of people. So even if you're not a quote-unquote jailhouse doc, when so many people are incarcerated, you're going to see these people.
So they're likely to get called in.
Absolutely.
And now with this curriculum, when they go through your program, they will at least have some idea of what to expect and how to deal with it.
That's our hope.
Can you give me an idea of how many people go through your program every year?
Well, we're just getting started. It's really a pilot program, but we want to prepare medical students, pharmacy students, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants. These are all really important caregivers, and probably about five each.
All right. Dr. Stryker, thank you so much for spending this time with us this morning. I really appreciate
thank you.
It. That's Dr. Robert Stryker, Associate Professor of Medicine at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. The Morning Show is produced by Colleen Leahy, Brianne Chasso, Chris Molina, Laura Pavin, and Sarah Hopeful. Michael Derringer is our technical advisor. Keely Boltina is the executive producer. I'm John Munson, in for Carrie Kaufman. Be back on Monday with more of The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.